the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. What do you say we get things officially started with?
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Good one says, I'd rather do something and fail than do nothing and succeed. Oh. Yeah, like that. Then again, being a success doing nothing is quite an accomplishment when you think about it, because it requires getting elected.
I'm the devil.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Yeah, there you go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Really?
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your twisted history.
If you say so.
You might be quizzed.
Oh, stop with that. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1952 the United Kingdom successfully tested a nuclear weapon in the Montebello Islands, Western Australia, to become the world's third nuclear power. It was an insanely bright light and a loud boom with a British accent. And it was on this day in 1990 the German Democratic Republic was abolished and became part of the Federal Republic of Germany. And the event is celebrated every year as German Unity Day. In other words, the day thousands upon thousands of East Germans started trading in their smoky Trabants for Beamers.
If you can find a better car, buy it.
I was kind of hoping I wouldn't have to continue talking about Tuesday night's debate a day and some change later, but, you know, in some situations. So, political pundits, I don't know if you noticed, have been ripping CBS News anchors Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan for biased moderating during the debate, and I don't know why there's so much discussion about it. Did we expect anything other than that? I mean, come on. The mainstream media is in the tank for the left. They're not left-leaning. They have traditionally been in the tank. I remember when I was a lot younger, back during my service days in the Air Force, people like Walter Cronkite, for instance, were clearly in the tank for Democrats. Dan Rather was a big Democrat. You remember how he went after Richard Nixon when Nixon was in Houston for a speech? And Nixon started taking questions from the audience. In the audience was Dan Rather. And Rather was snippy with Richard Nixon. Now, I'm not saying that Richard Nixon didn't deserve it, I guess, to a certain degree. But then again, we're talking about my memory going back over 50 years, or right at 50 years. So here again, going into the debate the other night, I fully expected the moderators to be fully in the tank for the left. And they were. They didn't disappoint. But these pundits, the political pundits on both sides, ripped the anchors. Yes. Gosh, I can't remember. Was that CNN? I think CNN was ripping these two ladies, O'Donnell and Brennan, for their bias. But what really got good was when, I don't know if you knew this, but the other night, Donald Trump was doing live play-by-play on Truth Social. Pretty interesting. So he posted, Margaret Brennan just lied again about the illegal migrants led into our country by lion Kamala Harris, and then she cut off JD's mic to stop him from correcting her. Well, you heard that on yesterday's blogcast, and you probably heard it several times more yesterday during various newscasts. But the moderators appeared to consistently show bias against Vance by fact-checking him, cutting off his mic, and asking questions framed unfairly. So they didn't appear to use the same tactics on Tim Walz. In fact, I have a feeling, because I watched that whole broadcast, I have a feeling that going into the debate Tuesday night, these two moderators, O'Donnell and Brennan, knew that Tim Walz was at a disadvantage because J.D. Vance is that sharp and they know it. Everybody on the left knows how sharp J.D. Vance is. So going into this broadcast Tuesday night, this debate, both moderators, O'Donnell and Brennan, knew Tim Walz was at a disadvantage and they intended to help him. Of course, it blew up in their faces. That was the beautiful part. Now, CBS News gave the Harris-Walz ticket 85% positive coverage from July 21st to September 27th. Well, how do we know this? Because of our friends at the Media Research Center. They track this stuff every single day. They're amazing. And they published those results on Monday. Meanwhile, the Trump-Vance ticket received 81% negative coverage. 85 positive for Harris-Walz, 81% negative coverage for Trump-Vance. So, the X subscribers, X, formerly known as Twitter, slammed and exposed the moderators, with some suggesting that their bias was worse than the ABC News presidential debate, in which some Democrats admitted the moderators were biased toward Kamala Harris. So, this isn't anything that we should be shocked about. We knew this. And you know what? It's going to get worse the closer we get to election day, so don't be surprised. That's just the way it is. So, as we do get closer, don't panic. Do not panic. The polls are going to tell you that these two are neck and neck. And that may be somewhat true. But yesterday they were talking about how the majority, I think it was 4 out of 7 swing states, Kamala Harris still had an edge on Donald Trump. I'm going to tell you right now, I think that's pure bullcorn. I may be wrong, but I believe that's pure bullcorn. Because here again, you have a certain contingent of people who answer the polls, but don't answer honestly. Because they're afraid of some kind of repercussion of some sort. And there are a lot of people who just don't answer polls. What about those people? They're going to vote. They just refuse to participate in polls. What about that segment of our population? How large is it? We don't know. Could be a small segment, but it could be huge. And we never take that into account. I just find it rather funny that every time there's an election, the polls are usually wrong. Taylor Swift's endorsement of Kamala Harris may not have been such a swift idea after all, shaping up to be a costly move for her. Since publicly endorsing Harris back on September 10th, the night of the presidential debate, Swift has lost more than 2 million Spotify listeners, according to data that was shared by Chartmetric, which is a music streaming analytics company. And in addition, the number of people viewing Swift's YouTube videos in the U.S. reportedly dropped nearly 10% post-Harris endorsement. It's a significant amount, but certainly not crushing. Is it killing her career? No. But she's going to, come tax time, she's going to notice there may have been a bit of a drop in her income. Of course, the real money on these artists is made in their concerts. As long as they sell out concerts, they're doing well. Anyhow, just prior to the debate, Swift had 94 million unique Spotify listeners who had streamed at least one of her songs in the past month. And as of September 27th, her monthly unique listeners had reportedly dropped to 91.9 million. Now, for her, the drop is likely going to represent a hit to her bank account, since Spotify compensates artists based on the number of streams they generate. It's just simple math. The 2 million decline in Spotify listeners comes as her popularity has actually taken a hit among all voters. See, every artist has a certain amount of shelf life. There are only a select few artists who are going to be able to make a lifetime career out of singing or any other form of entertainment. Only a select few. You know, there's only one George Strait. There was only one Elvis. Is Taylor Swift akin to a George Strait? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, even Garth Brooks. No, nobody's playing Garth Brooks on the radio anymore. I would love to see some numbers on Garth Brooks, how popular he is on the streaming services like Pandora and Spotify. What's the story with him these days? Well, it's pretty clear his popularity just wore off. This is why I was scratching my head when Taylor went ahead and made this endorsement. I was like, what in the hell is she doing? No artist can afford to do that. She really shot herself in the foot. So our friends at Breitbart reported a recent NBC News poll that showed Swift's favorability among all registered voters fell from last year, decreasing from 40% in 2023 to 33% this year. That's a significant amount. And 16% had negative feelings about her in 2023. 27% say they do now. About 26% of independents have a positive attitude toward Swift, a drop from 34% in 2023. Hey, she's a cute kid, she's young, and she's a shrewd businesswoman. I think if any artist were able to recover from a boo-boo like this, it would be Taylor Swift. An item here crossed my desk that I think is worthy of note, and that is over 200 retired military generals and admirals endorsed Donald Trump. And this was in an open letter released on Monday saying that he's demonstrated the leadership ability needed to provide for the safety and security of the United States. Now, being a veteran myself, I have this little personal philosophy, and that is that we first take care of the security of the United States, then we can worry about our allies. Now, the group who organized the letter, known as Flag Officers for America, said in their statement, quote, Donald Trump has a proven track record of success providing the most fundamental responsibilities required of a U.S. president, protecting national security, domestic safety, and the U.S. Constitution. Meanwhile, they said, the current administration led by the president and vice president has allowed our nation to become insecure, our citizens unsafe, and our country divided due to the cultural war being waged all across America in the form of diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, DEI. I thought it was very interesting that they brought that up. And they also added this. This divisive domestic strife is dividing our country, allowing our foreign adversaries to take advantage of the political, social disorder in America. A recent bipartisan congressional report, Commission on the National Defense Strategy, said, the United States confronts the most serious and the most challenging threats since the end of World War II. The United States could, in short order, be drawn into a war across multiple theaters with peer and near-peer adversaries, and it could lose. Wow. That's stunning. You know what? I'm going to repeat that. I hate being redundant, but I'm going to repeat that because that's really stunning stuff. This divisive domestic strife is dividing our country, allowing our foreign adversaries to take advantage of the political, social disorder in America. A recent bipartisan, and I think that's key word there, a recent bipartisan congressional report, Commission on the National Defense Strategy said, the United States confronts the most serious and the most challenging threats since the end of World War II. The United States could, in short order, be drawn into a war across multiple theaters with peer and near-peer adversaries, and it could lose. Wow. Now, of course, when they're talking about peer and near-peer adversaries, The first ones that come to mind are China and Russia, right? And then they said, we urge our fellow Americans to join us in supporting the election of Donald J. Trump for president. Our future is at stake. Now, the letter comes amid several domestic and international crises that the Biden-Harris administration has been struggling to address. I don't know if the word struggling is right, but they're in the position of having to address them, okay? For instance, over the weekend, last weekend, we had Hurricane Helene killing more than 150 people so far, with hundreds still missing. Biden was at his beach home during the hurricane. He returned to Washington on Sunday after the hurricane passed. Harris campaigned in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas, also only returning to D.C. after the hurricane had died down. Some affected residents reported getting no help from the government at all, and video emerged online of citizen pilots flying their own private small planes to ferry aid to people who needed it. Trump visited Georgia on Monday, bringing oil, water, and other supplies, and then he also met with residents. He said he wanted to visit North Carolina, too, but didn't want to cause a distraction during relief efforts, which is a good point. Seems like he thinks of everything. He started a GoFundMe that's already raised more than $3.2 million as of Tuesday. And then, of course, to add insult to injury, we have this strike by the port workers that's threatening to disrupt shipments of consumer goods and spike inflation. And just to kind of, just so that you understand what's at stake here, we're only talking about ports from New York all the way down to the base, the Texas-Mexico border. How many ports does that involve? 36. Now, on Tuesday, naturally, the world looked like we were really on the precipice of a new major war. I don't know that things have settled down any since, because Bibi Netanyahu is vowing that he's going to seek revenge. And that's how this happens. One side does something, the other side does something back, but a little bit more. And then that side does something back, and then a little bit more. This thing is going to blow up if somebody in Washington doesn't get wise and hold some kind of a summit. This requires diplomatic intervention, and it's not happening. And the United Nations, what are they doing? They're not doing doodly squat, but don't expect them to. As I've said many times before, the United Nations is nothing but an organization of a bunch of old men who sit around holding meetings and live lavishly. So these strikes that we just saw the other day over there in Tel Aviv and in southern Israel, also some strikes at northern Israel, they follow nearly a year of war now between Israel and Hamas. Because we're coming up on October 7th here in a few days. And we've had something like, 1,200 Israelis killed, about 200 kidnapped, including Americans. And during this time, the Iranian-backed Houthi fighters have launched hundreds of missiles and drones at U.S. and international ships in the Red Sea. They don't do any damage. But just the same, it's the sentiment that counts, right? So the Biden-Harris administration has unsuccessfully tried to obtain a ceasefire in this mess, trying to prevent it from spreading by sending thousands of U.S. troops to the region, which, oh yeah, that'll really do it. Nothing says peace like sending in more troops. But then again, you know, you may have to do that. And they also sent some in to Gaza to build a floating pier that cost $230 million. And that damn thing only worked for about 2 weeks. The over 200 flag officers wrote in their letter that Trump is a proven leader who will secure our border, repulse our adversaries, revitalize our economy, and keep America safe and strong. And again, as I look over this stack of material on my desk, I am just absolutely gobsmacked that anybody in their right mind would even consider voting for Harris. This stuns me. So they listed Biden-Harris policies. This was where it really got good. They listed Biden-Harris policies that they argue have placed the country into a perilous situation, using their term. One, open borders. The influx of countless millions of unvetted illegals from 160 countries. Think of what that's doing to us culturally. And this includes 100,000 Chinese, most of military age, plus thousands of criminals and terrorists, placing America at great risk. Future terrorist attacks of some size and fashion on U.S. soil are a near certainty. See, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Border security is national security. Their second point, the economy and inflation. Inflation caused by the administration's policies affect national defense because it decreases the money available to properly equip, train, arm, and size our military. Today, just the annual interest on our debt exceeds the entire defense budget. That is not sustainable. Every dollar spent paying interest on the national debt is a dollar wasted and not available for defense of our country. It's a great point. And then their third point was physical and mental condition of the CINC. A May 2021 letter signed by over 200 retired flag officers said, quote, the mental and physical condition of the commander-in-chief cannot be ignored. He must be able to quickly make accurate national security decisions involving life and limb anywhere, day or night. For the past 3 to 5 years, the CINC's president's obvious impairments have been deliberately concealed and denied by the vice president and others, placing politics above national security. Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, this is nothing but politics. I mean, the fact that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, both old tampon Tim, both these characters avoid the media. And I find that interesting because the media is friendly to them, but they still avoid the media. You think anybody in the world can depend on these two knuckleheads when it comes to the feces hitting the oscillator? So this letter stands in pretty stark contrast to one signed by more than 700 members of the deep state, including high, mid, and low-ranking former officials endorsing Harris. Remember, when you've got people like John Brennan and Clapper, what the hell's Clapper's first name? I forgot. But anyhow, James Clapper. When you have people like those two endorsing Harris, that should tell you enough right there. But the letter spent very little space explaining why she was good for national security and more space arguing why they believe Trump was a threat. Those 700 boneheads from the deep state. And some of the signatories included the same ones who'd signed the letter falsely asserting that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian disinformation operation. Remember that? And that led to the suppression of media coverage right before the 2020 election. So the retired flag officers endorsing Trump called this election arguably the most important since our nation was founded. They said, we are at a historic crossroad where we must either choose to stand for our Constitution and its underlying traditional values, which have made America great, or we continue down the path to the current administration's top leadership, taking into the deadly abyss of socialism and authoritarian cultural Marxism. We must ask, is our national security stronger or weaker today than 4 years ago? The answer is clear. We urge our fellow Americans to join us in supporting the election of Donald J. Trump for president. Our future is at stake. Well, I wholeheartedly agree. And, here again, the key question before you go into the voting booth is, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? It's not just a question about the economy. It's a question about our nation's security. It's a question about our culture, our Judeo-Christian culture. Here again, ask, are we in better shape today than we were 4 years ago? Well, the answer to that is just painfully, painfully obvious. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and the very funny Rob Little.
Hello, wow, look at all, there is a lot of bald guys here. What? Are we having a meeting or something? What's going on? Awesome, what's up, bald brother? Yes. Oh, I love being bald, don't you? Oh my, look at all the money we save by not going on dates. And yeah, we could, look at them. Oh, this is crazy. Are we having a meeting? I feel like we should be, like, we could start our own band. We got enough of us right here. Call ourselves the Four Tops or something. That'd be awesome. I see you're keeping the side though. Yeah, okay. Keeping it. You can let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Awesome. Look at all the cute girls, too. Oh, it's weird. I'm getting older, and it's weirder things get me excited about women, right? You're getting older. You know what I'm talking about. Look, look at them. There's a lot of good ones right here. Yes. Yes. Yummy. Yes. What? Girls in glasses drive me, and I just see them, and I'm like, oh boy, she's got bad eyesight. Yes. Oh. When those come off, I am gonna look so good. I look really good blurry, so love girls with disabilities. So hot, so hot. Oh, you got a guy with glasses. That's adorable. Do women feel the same way about guys with glasses? It's not the same, is it? I know. It's probably like, oh my boy, he's gonna fix my computer. Like, you're just. Oh man, this is gonna be fun. So I'm kind of a party guy. I feel like this is a party crowd for the yes. I'm the kind of guy, if you're having a party and you invite me, I'll come. I don't care what kind of party it is. Ladies, a Pinterest party? Ugh. I'll bring the crafts, right? Tupperware party. Let's blow the lid off this place. You ever been to a crappy party, though? We all have. If you haven't, you need to get out more. I'll tell you that. I went to the worst one I've ever been to in my life. It was a search party. Everybody was crying. Ugh, couldn't find this one guy. Right? I start crying because it's BYOB. I'm like, this party sucks, man. Who invited the cops? This is a weird party. I didn't know we could bring our dogs. Everybody's laughing over here. I feel like you guys are missing someone or something. It was like, we can't find Todd. Like, what are you doing at Dry Bar? Go home and look for him, you jerks.
Get out there and make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.